Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
Week 10 is in the books. We'll take a look back at that and then look ahead to Week 11. A little shorter on the byes, Mike, in Week 11. Only two teams getting a rest. The Rams probably needed after getting run over by San Francisco on Monday night. And the Denver Broncos have a bye. They lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 10. But a lot to unwrap, a lot to look back on. We'll start with the game that happened on Monday night with the 49ers at Rams. So much hype about the debuts of Odell Beckham Jr. and Von Miller. But in the end, it's the 49ers getting a 31-10 victory over the Rams. Debo Samuel continues to shine, and Matthew Stafford, not so much for the Rams in that Monday night affair.
Takes the deep shot to Odell Beckham Jr., who appears to have given up on the play. He made a hell of a tackle, though. Jarring hit. So if you get credit for the tackles and you have the asterisk in your league, you know, because you have individual defensive players, I suppose that added some value for you there. Otherwise, a pretty quiet night. The other one, Higbee. You know, a lot that won't show up in the box score, maybe not in most people's talking points, was how betrayed Matthew Stafford was by Tyler Higbee and by Van Jefferson for much of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both struggled to bring the ball in. Obviously, Higbee with the interception return for a touchdown, but Jefferson, a couple of plays. Look, in my guillotine league, got to put it in, Dan. Him not being able to catch a ball over the middle that bounced off his shoulder pad and fell harmlessly incomplete. I was on air doing the show with Jason Smith in the evening for Fox Sports Radio. I may have gotten up and done a Tiger Woods fist pump, celebrating that I was not going to be chopped based on Jefferson's – see, I want to call him Van Jefferson like it's his last name, like he's Martin Van Buren or something.
Oh,
but,
like Van,
you know,
Buren.
You had that. You had a play in the end zone where Matthew Stafford clearly had run past the line of scrimmage and then was kind of floating. And then there was a moment where it looked like they were going to rule a touchdown for Van Jefferson, and then – finally, the flag came out, so it would have negated it anyway. But it was one of those, are you kidding me? If this stands, I'm going to – well, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, Stafford,
you know,
was
just
like
add to my list of grievances against the officials of 2021.
Stafford was like 3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
It wasn't even close. I will say that there was another community that should be happy from what happened Monday night, and it's the George Kittle family, or those who have George Kittle on their fantasy teams, because it's his second game back. And the first game was a game where Arizona dominated. So you're saying, okay, you know, we'll see what happens if the 49ers maybe get into more of a conservative approach. And that's exactly what happened, maybe even over the top conservative with how they used Debo Samuel in the run game. However, George Kittle still got his 7 targets, 5 receptions, 50 yards, had a score. So that's my one takeaway from this is with the tight end position, which has been crazy this season because Travis Kelce hasn't really been Travis Kelce. Darren Waller, heck, even on Sunday night, would put a stinker up against Kansas City. The tight end position has just been one where I don't think a lot of people feel satisfied, maybe outside of a Mark Andrews owner. But if George Kittle continues to do this, George Kittle owners have to be happy.
Yeah, good to have him back. I mean, look, short, intermediate passes. And one thing I think to take away from the two losses for the Rams, you know, Tennessee, and then now the 49ers that can't win at home. I don't know if they took my suggestion of shipping in actors to really be hype people today up in Santa Clara, or on Monday night, I should say, because it was, you know, loud, and it got louder, and they came, and they just did smash-mouth football. Much like Tennessee, they bullied the Rams on both sides of the ball, and what you're looking at is a Rams offense, or a Rams defense, I should say, that's been kind of bend, don't break, right? You have the spectacular in Donald and Ramsey, But overall, you know, if teams commit to the run, they've been able to do it. And we saw that with the 49ers. You know, Mitchell only had 91 yards on 27 carries. But when you can run the ball 44 times, right, Wilson comes in, mm-hmm. you're just slamming into that defensive line. What's it doing? It's bringing the linebackers up. So when you do need to make a conversion, that's where Kittle comes in, and you make your plays. Garoppolo doesn't have to be spectacular, but that would be my one concern coming out of here with the Rams, right? You're going to get your numbers eventually again from Stafford, and as they figure out how to replace Robert Woods, what is Odell Beckham Jr. to this offense, and can they get any semblance of continuity? Hell, Cooper Kupp actually dropped a pass.
Yeah,
I thought the world was going to stop for a moment. A
couple,
there,
actually, I thought. At least hit him in the hands.
Yeah, I mean, just craziness. So it's just – and you only get to 10 runs. I mean, more or less abandon that early, which I thought was kind of foolhardy, right? You had the two long drives by the 49ers, the early drives of the first half. 21-7, and then you do that idiotic fake field goal. Oh, the other people that celebrated. You mentioned Kittle. I thought you were going to talk about people that started Matt Gay. Because that meaningless field goal at the end of the game, you know, you shoot it at the end of the first half, could have made it 21-10 with the 49ers getting the ball to start the second half. No, instead you run a fake that had no chance in hell. And even if you'd been, you know, you had no time, like you were going to run out. But the idea that you got those 3 points at the end, I know Bershinger, our executive producer, Ryan, he benefited, and our own Johnny Ramos, immediately after I tweeted about it, he said, yep, got me a W. So there you go. Even in a down game for the Rams, a little highlight towards the end.
So the Rams only score 10 points to go along with their 10 rushes, their lowest output of the season. A bye for the Rams mm-hmm. in week 11 couldn't have come at a better time. Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. I could use a bye for some of my predictions that I made in our last episode after making those. I know I told you to start Taysom Hill. It was not a... I don't want to cop out, Mike, but I was just saying I thought Taysom Hill would have a surprisingly good game. And he did run the ball, and he did throw the ball, and he did catch the ball. The only problem was he did very little of all three. So Taysom Hill was a bad, bad prediction. It was a lot of Trevor Siemian, and it's not as much Taysom Hill as I thought that you could see. I said to bench Jalen Hurts, didn't have a great game against the Broncos, just threw a buck 78, did have two touchdowns, and had 53 yards on the ground. But it was a really bad week for a lot of quarterbacks out there. So Jalen Hurts actually fared a little bit better. Figured that Buffalo would get right on track, and Terry McLaurin, I thought, would have a good day against Tampa. 6 catches, 59 yards, not what you would expect. And my points of Palooza, I thought Dallas and Atlanta would be. Dallas kept up their end of the bill, but Atlanta did not. The only issue with that is Dallas's 43 points was best for third this week because the Bills and Patriots dropped 45s in their Week 10 wins. So even the points of Palooza didn't come through. On the Dallas end, it did. Zeke, big game. CeeDee Lamb, big game. Sure. Dak Prescott, big game. But overall, the Falcons just did not do any work whatsoever.
Yeah, and you saw, I think, in most leagues, you actually got a 0 out of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
But here's the thing, right? Before that game, and we'll be talking about him because, Thursday Night Football. Hi, Matt Ryan. He had had multi-touchdown games in 6 of 7, only one with more than 2. But if you're able to set a baseline of 200, 225, and 2, most weeks you're going to take it, right?
Sure.
I mean, because the quarterback position has been so fluid over the course of the year, much like you said with the tight ends, Dan. I mean, trying to predict the good, the bad, the ugly, it's been difficult. You only had 9 quarterbacks finish with 20 or more fantasy points. Again, we could talk about how the league scored, whatever, but like, let's just go to a standard operating league. Between Mahomes and Prescott, you got your big numbers off the jump. Mac Jones jumps in with his 198-3. We'll, again, talk about him as part of the Thursday night. Trevor Siemian gets in the 23-21 loss. Hurts was there. Even Derek Carr found his way there in what was an absolute burial. So, I mean, you're looking at a very short list of guys performing for my three things. Yeah, Jalen Hurts, I'd mentioned him, but moved on. James Conner found the end zone, so I'll take some victory there because it's a shallow victory because they absolutely got pummeled. So the prediction of the game certainly went wrong, and Cam Newton shows up in his Superman outfit. Donovan Peoples-Jones, well, we watched the Browns. How bad were they? What are they at this point? Can Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt come to the rescue? Because that offensive line, they all got paid last week. But, well, nobody decided to play this week, Dan. So we had that.
Their defense is something that is, I think, a bit of an enigma as well.
I agree. I mean, overall on the year, and I conflated a couple of stats talking about the week that was with Smith earlier on Monday night, and it was the, you know, they've now surrendered more points than they've scored. In their five losses, they've given up 75 more points than they've scored. I mean, the two blowouts account for a lot of it, but it's still the point of lack of consistency. And right now, with that passing game, I mean, we don't know what it is and how healthy Baker Mayfield will be going forward, and whether they flip the switch and just say, you know what, you need to get healthy, and here comes Case Keenum again. I think it's interesting. And Week 10 also gave us, just from pulling out to the larger scale, Dan, the average margin of victory was 17.7 points.
Wow.
Yeah, great games all around. But you know what? They're part of the 272, the rich tapestry that we weave. Off my top fives, hot plays, cold sores. You know, when we recorded, we had a lot of unknowns for the injury report, so I get incompletes or just I look dumb because a lot of guys ended up not getting downgraded to out. And then obviously we had the surprise of Ben Roethlisberger in what looked like a decent spot. And once again, we get back to a game of ties in the National Football League and a bunch of players who have no idea that ties exist, Dan.
Najee Harris still didn't understand.
Absolute confusion.
The 10-minute, this 10-minute rule is so,
it's silly.
So wrong.
Yeah.
But the Lions and Steelers probably could have settled that in 5 minutes and then just called it good, to be quite honest.
No, you're right.
You're right.
But, yeah, I mean, a bunch of the failures, the Mike White experiment was a disaster. Obviously, Matt Ryan, already talked about him as a zero. Hot plays against Dallas. Look, for both White and for Ryan, was I looking for them to dominate? No, I was looking for garbage. I was hoping they'd be trash men and pick it up and give us a little bit of excitement. Did hit on Derek Carr. Unfortunately, Cordarrelle Patterson did get hurt. Likewise, Terry McLaurin, you know, banged up as well. Washington now with the big battle against Cam Newton, so that's fun. But overall, just a very – the last 2 weeks have been really strange. Fun to watch and try to figure out. But anybody that claims they've found the algorithm and solved it, like they're Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting on the wall, they're lying to you because nothing makes sense right now.
Yeah, I think that this is another byproduct of now an 18-week season. And I think so much of just going back to last year and the Buccaneers taking the first, you know, 12 weeks or whatever, and their bye in week 13 that they had, which was super late, but it so benefited them. Not saying that teams with early byes this season will be hurt. It's just that it's a grind for a lot of teams, and there are some other big bye weeks coming up. And so I think that that is going to play and continue to play now that it's an 18-week season.
Well, I think you get into a strategy, Dan, of if you're a team that's looking to contend, right, you're on the fringe of the playoffs, if you've got a banged-up starter, pick any position, don't you look and see if you can't steal the week, right, if it's out of an out-of-conference game?
Sure.
Or against one of the bottom feeders of the league? You know, not that they can't rise up and bite you. We still all remember the 9-6 win Jacksonville over Buffalo, and then the Jets paid the price because the Bills came out all pissed off. But it's the idea that, you know, if you can steal, like Kyler Murray, right? Would he have played had the Cardinals lost to the 49ers in Week 9? Maybe not. But because Colt McCoy and company got it done, you have the luxury of sitting him another week, knowing that your prize isn't, hey, let's play meaningful football in December. It's all about January.
There's also the luxury of the extra wild card game, so you don't feel like you're as or wild card team, so you don't feel like you're losing as much ground. And then there's to your point about these of these injuries, like the Saints had a bye in week 6. I don't know the severity of Alvin Kamara's injury, but I just have a feeling that that was the scenario that Sean Payton probably went through his mind. We had a bye in week 6. We played 3 games. We've used Kamara, you know, bunch in some of those. Nice little maybe a break here. And the lines that came from week 10 heading into week 11. We do need to get an update from our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, who has just had the absolute worst luck in streaming defenses. I always forget, was the negative 11, and I forgot this last week. You could actually just dub in me saying last week, was the negative 11 the Jets, or who was it?
It was the Jets. The Jets against the Patriots.
That's right.
Okay. Gave me negative 11.
Negative 11. Then you had a negative 2. And then you ended up, I believe you had a 4 in recently as well. So how did week 10 go for you in streaming defenses? By the way, an act that I don't follow. I stick with one defense. And that defense for me in week 10 was the LA Rams. They gave me 1 point. So go ahead, Ryan. I don't have anything to argue with your streaming defenses, but how did your streaming defenses work in week 10?
You know what? I think this was a pretty good week for me. Not only are they all in the positives, but we even have one in double digits.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
That's right. I played 3. The Ravens defense I did play. Last Thursday night, which feels like 3 weeks ago, the Ravens put up 4.
That was
the
4-pointer. Okay, yes. that was
them coming off of that crazy-ass game against the Vikings.
I did play the Steelers defense against the Lions, which gave me 5.
Okay.
But
now,
the big
honestly,
one.
you thought like Steelers like 12 points.
Yes.
It's kind of what you're hoping.
Yeah.
Salivating that a couple of injuries did you in, and well, here we are.
I figured they would put a stranglehold on Jared Goff, and they did, but then the running game just kind of took over, and whatever, that's fine.
Well, they had 199 rushing yards before you blinked.
Yeah. But the big one was the Colts defense against the Jaguars gave me 15 with a defensive touchdown early on in that game, and I was able to ride that double-digit performance.
That was a feel-good performance as you got the day started.
That was.
Because we were texting at each other after that score, like, hey, breaking
Look
the streak.
But as I've mentioned in the past, you know, that big negative 11 game, I won that game. This week, I won 2 of these matchups, and the one that I lost was the one where I started the Colts defense with 15. I played opposite of somebody who played the Browns defense that put up a negative 7 against the Patriots, and they still beat me by 9 points. So, go figure.
How about that?
Man, why would you play the Browns defense? You should be kicked out of a league.
You're stubborn. Yeah, that was the team you drafted and decided you were not going to fiddle with it, I guess.
Oh. How do you have the Browns defense and the Colts defense still be available?
Right.
That's what maybe you're getting sacks from Myles Garrett, and that's what ends up changing your mind. And Denzel Ward's interception return from 100 yards or whatever against the Bengals was a reason why you're like, you know what, I'm going to ride this out. But doesn't make a lot of sense. Who do you have? Do you have your eye on anybody so far in Week 11? Got any the Browns do face the Lions, so you can't grab them if they're already on another roster. So there's your SOL in that one.
Well, I'm hoping that they might pop up in another one.
Titans, maybe they play the Texans.
Yes,
that could be an option.
Yes, that will hopefully be one. I have I think I've got to move on from the Colts in terms of they've got the Bills this week, so I will be dropping them and moving on. But no one just yet.
If you have any suggestions, you can find Ryan Bershinger on Twitter at Ryan Bershinger.
He's a defensive specialist. That's what he does.
He's
He's the glove.
I actually like it when his defenses stink, honestly. And I know that he wants to get wins, but it's much better for our program when you just fail miserably on streaming defenses.
Much better story.
That's fine. Yeah, no, I understand. It is the positive I am able to take away. And, yeah, like I said, other than the Titans defense, a lot of the defenses that are available for me this week have terrible matchups. But maybe the Eagles against the Saints, if Kamara's out again. The Dolphins do play the Jets, so I know the Jets tend to hurt me, but I that's got to work this time. That has to.
Do us a favor, okay, Ryan? Start Giants defense against a pissed off Buccaneers team who is losing after losing to Washington and riding this slide. I think for the sake of the podcast, you need to start Giants defense just for the story.
Well, it is Monday Night Football.
Yes, it would be.
And you know, I don't know where I'll be. I don't know what I'm doing.
You may be the game.
I'll be at Universal Studio during the day, but I'll be ready to yell and mock whatever transpired then.
You could go to the game, Mike. It's a home game for the Bucks that Monday night.
Ooh. Now that would be something. I don't think my girls would be too excited. Hey, we're leaving Harry Potter world. Why? We're going to go watch Tom Brady on a pirate ship. Is he actually playing on the pirate ship?
It actually doesn't sound as bad when you put it like that.
No, I mean, that would be a good sell job, but then once we got there, it would be incumbent upon me to spend like $200 on food to make them happy because they weren't actually sitting on the pirate ship.
Yeah, well, you've got options.
Look, man, that's what life is all about. That is one of the great messages of this podcast and how we go about our business, Dan. You've got options. Got to keep options.
I just was looking at a graphic on my screen that had NFC wildcard contenders, and they've gone down to 11. They've put 11.
Did they have the Bears still in there?
Your Bears and my Seahawks did not make the graphic. Yes, very, very disheartening. That's what life is like here after Week 10. What are your biggest takeaways from Week 10 looking into Week 11?
Just a lot of hand-wringing at this point. I think the biggest is just we always know the running back position is a veritable cesspool and devolves very quickly during a season. But now we're going to the waiver wire and we're talking about names like Deontay Foreman, Ramondre Stevenson, who might have been rostered in your league, but game time, like when we talked to, and did the podcast leading in, we didn't know, right? You had no idea if he was going to be cleared. We had a pretty good inkling Damian Harris would not be, but what does that mean for the split, Brandon Bolden, whatever else?
Yeah.
And instead, you've got that. I mean, Wayne Gallman because of Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, you just keep going on down the list where, like, all right, these are guys that, before the season you would have never stopped on. It's like, who's the backup? No, there's no way I'm drafting him. Now you're going to spend free agent acquisition budget dollars on players like that. So, that's one of the takeaways. Just, guys kind of popping up going, all right, who's getting the carries now when you see a running back go down? It's like some people, if they aren't paying attention to quarterback depth charts, get to the same thing. From the Dallas-Atlanta game, and I know Atlanta, we hang a star on them because, nobody buys the defense. We didn't buy it before the season and week to week. If it surprises you once in a while, you go, hey, how about that? Good for them. But Ezekiel Elliott, hopefully you bought low on him when everybody was ready to throw him out with the bathwater because right now you're riding high and feeling pretty good for the back end of the season here. Some pretty good spots, particularly, you look at week 16 as we get into the playoffs, you've got Detroit sitting there. So an opportunity for you there that offense should roll. So if Tony Pollard happens to be unrostered, I don't think he should be, but he's also a guy that I think I'd be looking at for the long term to maybe get some more work, right? You've seen him in the passing game a bunch, but opportunities there. The Buccaneers for Tom Brady, they're just not healthy right now. So it makes him a difficult play. Hopefully the cavalry comes to the rescue here soon. And, you know, once again, the Chargers are maddening, right? Everybody pushed all in. I certainly did on Mike Williams, both as, you know, the guillotine league, but also in my draft saying, all right, if it's ever going to happen, this is the year, and you got a couple of games, and now you're in that, can I play him or can I not?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst place of all, right? With Justin Herbert, generally you're still going to end up with an okay game, so he's still going to be at the back end of the ones virtually every week. But for Mike Williams, a guy who started out like a house of fire, suddenly he's no better than a back end three or a four. And depending on how you drafted, if you drafted him a little higher thinking this was the breakthrough, perhaps that's now, you know, one of those sources of consternation in your roster decisions of, all right, is he due for another big game? And there's other players like that of that ilk, but he's the one that stands out for me at the wide receiver position.
I look at the biggest storyline is we assume Cam Newton is probably going to start week 11 mm-hmm. against Washington. That all indications point to that. And I think that it doesn't affect Christian McCaffrey's value in the passing game. I do think the goal line situation is one worth watching, where Cam could take situations in short yardage goal line plays from McCaffrey, like we saw against Arizona. But obviously it's not enough that you would change anything with McCaffrey. It's just if you're a McCaffrey owner, you're going to get a lot of points. You just may not get as many because Cam may steal some goal line stuff. But I just wonder about DJ Moore now, because I was really high on him before mm-hmm. Darnold fell off a cliff, and I really thought that he was ascending. And now I just don't know if that's the case. Plus, it seems like Carolina is going to have something to play for at 5-5, and their defense is good enough where maybe they don't want to be taking risks. And I don't know what we're going to get from Cam as a passer. So, like, I worry about a guy like DJ Moore really getting the value. He only had 4 catches for 24 yards. Granted, P.J. Walker was the quarterback in Arizona on Sunday, but I just wonder on how much that's going to get better if Carolina is now this 5-5 team that's playing for the playoffs and just got Christian McCaffrey back. I wonder how that affects DJ Moore.
Dan, I wonder if it doesn't look a lot like what we saw from the 49ers against the Rams, right? You got a run game that works. And certainly with McCaffrey. So you will get the dump off passes. You will get uh-huh. him split out a little bit. And Chuba Hubbard will still see a little bit of work. But I think if you can, you take the ball out of the quarterback's hand in terms of trying to force the ball downfield, right? That was the problem with Sam Darnold, you know, and trying to force things to happen. Now, that offensive line still is no good. But now you at least have your playmaker that they've got to play honestly. For DJ Moore, you're now at a 6-game scoreless streak. So, you know, he's with Mike Williams on the, all right, wishing and hoping. It's an old 60s song, right? Wishing and hoping, hoping and praying. And we could do that and dance along with it. Maybe we'll do that as a music video for a fantasy wrap-up, Dan. We'll do a video album like Taylor Swift's doing with all her old music.
Okay. I had no clue.
I'll teach you all about the pop culture stuff that the kids are doing, because I have the two. I mean, you know, you've got a newborn, so he's not ready for Taylor just yet or all her trials and tribulations. But I've got two teenage daughters, so I'm living it on a daily basis. Hey, Dad, did you see the new video? No. And then I have to watch it. And then I, unfortunately, oftentimes will like it. And then it's like an earworm that stays with me. But back to the Panthers. Defensively solid. And so you could play that, you know, Baltimore-San Francisco kind of style of let's run the ball, let's take advantage of opportunities, you know, short intermediate passing game, and a quarterback that can make plays and will make plays with leg. I mean, I don't know what Cam's going to be as a passer. Right, that's the billion-dollar question. Yep. The fact that they paid him as much as they did, Dan, would lead me to believe that maybe that shoulder and that motion will look a lot better than it did in New England. Because I think we talked about it on the podcast every week, going, how's he completing passes? Like, this is just this side of Phillip Rivers' underarm throwing. right? So,
yeah.
But color me intrigued, right? I mean, there's life, and it just goes to show how important a guy like Christian McCaffrey is to a team, though.
He's right. Very important. 10 catches, you know, on 10 targets that he had in his return. And so if you were able to navigate his absence, if it was some Chuba Hubbard, if you found other places to be able to keep yourself afloat, good for you, because you are not going to be reaping the benefits of Christian McCaffrey, because he just, yeah, does not seem to be missing a step at all. I will also throw one other thing in there, quarterback-wise, and then we laughed about the Bears and Seahawks not making that graphic. It wasn't Russell Wilson's finger that was the problem I felt in Green Bay. I think that it had something to do with it, Mike. But the biggest problem that I saw with Russell Wilson is there was no change to the quarterback that played against Green Bay, as opposed to the quarterback that was still trying to figure out this offense when he got hurt against the Rams. And there's this disconnect. And if I'm a Tyler Lockett owner, if I'm a DK Metcalf owner, I am really concerned. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to have as bad of a game as he had at Green Bay, but there were a lot of mistakes that he made in that game that he was actually making earlier on in the season. And now you throw in this finger scenario. If I'm a owner in any Seahawks shares with those wide receivers, or even Chris Carson, who still can't get healthy, they don't seem to want to run the football. I would be very, very cautious in that area.
Here's the thing that, you know, to extrapolate on that, right? You got DK's got his 8 touchdowns. Do you have any idea how many targets he and Lockett have on the season?
No, I couldn't even tell you.
Lockett's at 66, 43 receptions. Metcalf, 42 of 64. So the efficiency rating, about the same. Mm-hmm. The next leading target is Freddie Swain with 27.
Yeah, that was a problem. They only kept 4 wide receivers. We had talked about this in the draft.
Yeah,
they were the only two guys that they had, you know, that they were going to throw to. It's just the problem of Lockett is such a roller coaster, where you don't know if he's going to be up or if he's going to be down. But if your quarterback can't get you the ball, you know, it's just a mess. It is not good. And their defense is actually playing better, but sorry.
Leading rusher only has 345 yards.
Yeah. They didn't run the ball at all. I mean, they're only down 3-0 in the fourth quarter against Green Bay on Sunday. And when Alex Collins has 10 carries, you know, and you throw the ball 40 times, yeah, there's a problem. There's something wrong. Green Bay did
well, but it's exactly what Green Bay did the week before against Kansas City. Why is Jordan Love throwing the ball 34 times when you've got Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon there, right, in a close game?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, just invert the, like, carry it forward to the next week with one team as the common element in there. Like, I don't get it. I don't pretend to know as much as any coach, but as a guy who's watched a lot of football, I do like to raise my hand. You know, I've gotten my shoulder rehabbed a little bit. I got my Theragun, so I can raise it up really high to ask questions. And I got a lot of them coming out of week 10.
There's a lot of questions. We don't have many answers, but we will try to give them to you on this podcast, such as, who should I pick up for week 11? Waiver wire ads for week 11. I'll mention a name that you mentioned earlier because you can take it from there, Mike, but I do think that the Cordarrelle Patterson injury, and we'll dive into it with Patriots and Falcons. I think Wayne Gallman is a name that that will be popping up this week, because I don't know who else the Falcons would have, but it doesn't look like Patterson's going to be playing on Thursday night, and Gallman saw more action against the Cowboys when Patterson went out.
Yeah, short week, and you're at a point where, what are we, right? You found a guy who's a piece. I mean, you are still sitting at 4-5, so if we were to expand that graphic, Dan, you know, anything goes with the extended games, because, you know, maybe the injury bugs hit elsewhere. Tampa Bay losing that game this week may make you feel, you know, some consolation. Not quite sure. But we know Mike Davis has been an afterthought at best. right? So I would expect, given his struggles to this point, averaging like 3.2 yards a carry or something like that, that Gallman would get a shot to make some hay. Now, will he be able to? I don't know. I mean, you're looking at Patterson has been a one-man gang for much of the year, right? Calvin Ridley being out, hopefully getting, you know, the help he needs. We've talked about that a bunch, but it leaves just a huge void that they're trying to fix off an offense that would have been predicated on at least, you know, him seeing 8 to 10 targets and stretching the defense and making some things happen. So, yeah, Gallman would be probably top three on the board of guys you're running after this week.
Who else you looking at?
Well, we already mentioned Cam, so people will be going to Cam. For some, whatever reason, Mac Jones is only owned in about 30% of leagues right now, going up against those Falcons. So opportunity knocks, been playing great football. They've scored 150 points in the last 4 weeks. How about that? Defense giving up just 50, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're playing well. They really are.
Yeah, mentioned Foreman, mentioned Stevenson. You know, Stevenson, kind of an interesting one. If, you know, Harris should get cleared, maybe, again, going back to the we're going to need this guy down the stretch for a playoff run. Stevenson ran for 100 yards after getting cleared himself, that maybe Harris doesn't get rushed back in. So we'll keep an eye on that as we get ready for game time. So at Swollen Dome, at Dan Beyer on Fox, where you send in those lineup requests. Matt Breida shows up. Is he a guy that you're going to play necessarily? No, but he's worth looking at as a stash on your bench as part of the Buffalo ground game, since we haven't really seen much from Singletary and Zach Moss through the year. So we put that on the board. Tua Tagovailoa, we talked a little bit about the fact that he gets to play the New York Football Jets. Opportunity knocks. Justin Fields only owned in about a quarter of leagues right now. And, you know, they're going up against the Baltimore secondary that I think you and I could play catch against most days. Go back to Tua on that Thursday night. Now, obviously, the offense had played a lot of plays. Defense did as well. But still, there were multiple big plays where there was no defender in sight. And the number of 20 and 40-yard passes allowed by that Baltimore defense, I would expect Fields to have some success there. How about you go to the tight end position and Dan Arnold? Three or more targets all but one game, multiple receptions and all over the course of the year. Cole Kmet finally out of mothballs over his last four games. You're looking at 25 targets, 18 catches. Still doesn't have a touchdown. So maybe at some point that'll show up. If you really need to play a Jet, Elijah Moore's been a target machine, at least on a relative basis, 6-6, 8-6. Maybe you play that in the lottery this week, Dan. Pick four. Michael Gallup returned 5 targets for the Cowboys. Weekly, it's going to be tough to play him, but again, rosterable as you go. It's slim pickings. I think we've kind of hit that point of, yeah, you know, league to league, you know, you might have that one guy that just gets frustrated with a player and decides to cut him, which is why you always need to do the cursory thing. You know, we were joking about Bershinger's defense experiment, but, you know, you got to at least comb through. Even if you think your roster is pretty good, there might be that one guy that just kind of slipped through.
I was going to have us wrap up with Patriots and Falcons. Honestly, Mike, I wouldn't want a Falcon except Pitts to play, even though I said you may want to look at Wayne Gallman.
Yeah.
I think that there is a hierarchy in the Patriots' backfield, but when Damian Harris comes back healthy, I don't know how that affects Ramondre Stevenson. I would not expect Harris to go on Thursday on a short week, so maybe Stevenson is your guy there. But other than that, I think Thursday night's fantasy wasteland when it comes to week 11.
Yeah, I think unless you're in a situation, you're two QB leagues or whatever, I mean, Mac Jones is on a roll right now, but, you know, it would take a pretty big roll of the dice on a short week, you know, on the road as well. I mean, Jacoby Myers is a back end three or four. The yardage totals aren't there. The targets are. Finally got into the end zone, so good for him. I'm glad to finally see that happen. He does have 50 catches, so some value in PPR leagues, of course. But beyond that, I think for the backfield, as we were talking about you know, when Harris returns, I think we're going back to the Patriots of old, and it's going to be a headache.
Sure.
Right? Where you're going to try to guess which guy's going to be the recipient of the glory touches or the higher workload, the hot hand, whatever Belichick's going to do. And there's going to be opportunity to guess wrong. So, unfortunately, I think we're back to the Patriots of, what, the entire Tom Brady era.
It was a headache, an absolute headache, and it would go with their running backs and time and time again. When you think one would be the guy, then mm-hmm. somebody else would show up, and I think you're right about that. Otherwise, that's all I've got for you on Thursday night. I'd wait for the other 14 games to try to make my hay in fantasy in Week 11.
I would agree. Hey, you know, after Week 10, because of his latest, his touchdown barrage, like Henry's been on a roll, he is currently the fourth highest scoring fantasy tight end.
Really? Jeez.
The yardage totals haven't been huge, but he and Mac Jones have found something in the red zone. And Jonnu Smith being hurt, and he missed Week 10, has certainly helped there. Even with the inefficiencies, Kyle Pitts is still a top six player. Go figure. I mean, like I say, you know, and you alluded to it earlier, it's like week to week, you got two or three guys that you trust. Beyond that, it's been a bit of a roll of the dice. So just like the running back position is becoming with Aaron Jones out, with Kamara banged up, Derrick Henry obviously lost for the year. I feel like we got to do like an award show thing where there's like, all right, here's 2 minutes of guys that have gotten hurt. And submarine your fantasy team. And then you pick what song you want, Dan. Whatever sad song is going to make it work.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. And I'm trying to think of a sad song. Maybe it'll just be the neighbor's dog barking, because that makes me sad every night knowing that I'm not going to get to sleep for the next 10 minutes.
Watch the King of Queens like me.
I can't. Baby's in the room. So, yeah, it's this whole other thing. The baby doesn't hear the dog, but I do. And it still is the noise machine is not drowning out. Yeah, we're in a weird, weird world right now. Get Mike again on Twitter at Swollen Dome, me at Dan Beyer on Fox, and find our executive producer, Ryan Bershiger, if you want any streaming defense advice. We will get together later on in the week with a new episode dropping on Friday and previewing Week 11. For Mike Carmen, I'm Dan Beyer. This has been I Want You to Play.